I'm John.
Welcome to the Dubious Bakery.
Your compressed data stream of A&J.
Oh, my show.
Axel is Axel's reeling from that hit because he was forced into it, frankly. And I don't blame Maestro.
No, I don't
Axel
blame him
just
either.
Not on his game. He missed the timing, and I remember... You probably heard mine a lot sooner than you heard his lighter.
Yeah,
click.
Rewind that episode. You'll hear that mine was very late. That my lighter because I didn't realize we were recording right then, and so I rushed onto it.
But I think the most significant thing is the fact that you're holding your head. Was that a huge hit?
Took my glasses off.
Yeah. Well, I can tell it was a huge hit because it started making me cough before I'd even pulled the bowl.
So you know you're in trouble there.
So, I was like, fuck it, it's for the show.
That's right, 50th episode.
50th episode. I'm really excited. 50 episodes of content, that's amazing.
Maestro.
That's like 100, but it's 50. It's so sick.
Cue!
I know, I keep waiting for those, like, applause.
Not today.
Not today, don't worry. They're applauding our applause warning. That's awesome. Yeah.
That is good.
So, I was talking to Dubious John right before this episode, and this is kind of another milestone that I did not even realize, but I guess he has quit smoking, or you have not smoked for
I have not smoked for probably like a month and a week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Maestro.
Yay. There we go.
Thank you. Because it's funny. This whole Dubious Bakery thing started when I was trying to quit.
It did?
Yeah.
I remember because I feel like we've talked about this before on the show. That's why it's so funny. Like, we've had the show for a year now, and I totally remember you talking about it a year ago about quitting smoking. And I've seen you smoke a bunch of times. So yeah.
Yeah. Needless to say, it didn't really stick. But
yeah. It has.
Yeah, it has for now.
What? Any secrets you chewing gum?
No, I just want to. It's all down to that mind thing. In my head, I know I want to quit.
Was it a money thing? Was it a lung thing?
It was just for the betterment of
John Kind.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
but here's my beef with it: I'm quitting, and Dubious Axel is starting.
Yeah, I'm not starting.
No bullshit. You're starting.
It's a word. Oh, man.
You're all about it right now. You just smoked a cigarette.
I just had one. Yes, I did have one.
And it was the last one of your pack, right?
It was the last one of my pack.
When did you buy that pack?
Like a week ago?
Ah, that's not bad, but still.
Yeah, I do a couple a day every once in a while. And it's a work thing, all right? Because as people who smoke know, they have smoke breaks.
You're full of shit.
What? I am already. Not full of shit. I love smoke breaks. I think they're awesome.
Smoke breaks are great.
They're great. And everyone who has a smoke break, they're more productive. Not because of the cigarette, because they have a moment to leave and just have their own thoughts. Just be like, oh man, what was that guy's problem? Or like, oh, this is epic. Or just something you're thinking about. Like, it gives you that moment to do.
So
when you think about outside of work, then you go back in to be more efficient. You're smoking a cigarette.
Hang on. So that begs the obvious question. Why do you need to smoke the cigarette on the smoke break? No, you don't. No,
you cannot just go outside and talk, or you can't just stand by yourself and just stand. You can't do that.
You can go out there and talk to everybody smoking a cigarette.
You can. Maybe you can do that. But even then, after a while, if you keep doing that, they're like, what the fuck?
No. Why would they?
What is he doing there?
Just talk to people. Don't stand there by yourself while they're smoking cigarettes. Like,
I'm talking about too. What if you're by yourself? That's what it really is. Like, you need a break and you go by yourself because you can smoke by yourself, right?
Yeah.
You can't just stand by yourself.
You know what I do now?
You have to be on the phone. You have to pretend you're on the phone.
On my breaks, instead of smoking, I will go to my car and I will listen to music. I'll listen to 10 minutes of music. Maybe even fall asleep for 2 minutes.
God, that's a trap right there for me, falling asleep. If you fall asleep for 2 minutes, you're just tired for the rest of the day and you hate it. For me, I'm like, why'd I do that? Shit. I don't know. Just once you start the process, you can't get out of it for me in the whole napping. That's why I don't nap during lunches.
Well, it's a shame. I find it very helpful. I am very refreshed after I take those short naps, and my internal clock allows me to wake up on time. Pretty much, it's weird.
You're weird in general with your sleeping. Man, you can sleep through like weather storms and pissing, like not having to piss and stuff.
The only time I've woken up, mind you, we are broadcasting from Southern California, you know, earthquake territory.
Oh yeah.
And the only time I've woken up in an earthquake, the whole time I've lived here, and we've had a dozen.
Yeah.
More than a dozen, I'm sure.
Two handfuls.
Yeah. The only time are big
to remember.
Yes, exactly. The only time I woke up was there was something hanging on my wall that was slapping against the wall. It was a, you know, makeshift stoplight, and it was slapping against the wall, and that woke me up. And I remember walking out and... yeah, seeing the fish tanks slosh around in a bit.
Oh no, the poor fish. I've slept through many an earthquake myself, actually. That, like, because you're right, there's nothing that really wakes you up. Like, the shakingness really does. And, I don't know, I'm not really afraid of earthquakes. I feel like I don't really enter that many buildings that I can't get out of fast enough. That it's okay, like, because the anti-earthquake is just open space. Right? Like, if I'm in a field, the earthquake can never hurt you. Unless it's like, what, the...
if you're on the fault line,
I was
maybe.
Just saying, unless you're
like
on the fucking epicenter,
where the
like,
ground
you
is
know?
Moving 10 feet a
and
second,
that's when you're just so fucked that you just that's when you dive into the crack. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm meant to be fucked over. So,
well, yeah, they say. I mean, though, in the worst earthquakes, is going to be 6 feet a second. Either way,
what do you mean?
Two directions.
The ground will shift 6 feet every second.
Up and down, you mean?
In directions.
It possibly up and down. Probably working on all axes in 6 feet
a
second.
I can't handle that. It just... you know
no,
what
but nothing
I
can
handle
that.
Like, yeah, you're going to get fucked. No, you just have to be ready for it. It's like this Nerf gun. Doesn't it hurt when you're not expecting it? When it gets shot like all of a sudden? But if you're expecting it, it's no big deal.
Same yeah, the house earthquake. Isn't expecting it either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just be prepared for the earthquakes, people. Just make your... jump. Just jump out of the way and stuff. Jump out the window. Have an earthquake. Escape plan.
You're right. Preparedness is the key.
Bolt down your computers. Trash bag your computers in case the water shit comes off.
We keep a couple gallons of water in the bakery. I've always said that too when we talk about these doomsday situations.
Yeah, have water on hand. It's always nice.
So, I was reading a story about we finally, get this guys, we finally proved the sun is a sphere.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes.
Pop your champagne. I don't know if you're saving it, but pop it now because we proved it.
Without
a shadow of a doubt.
Well, good. Exactly. It was not a question I had on the top of my list, but I'm glad it's officially perioded. You know, like, period.
It's a sphere. For years, me and the guy behind the bakery thought it was like a dodecahedron.
I told you stop talking about it. Don't talk to him, by the way. Stop talking to him.
He's a bad influence.
Anyway,
he said he has a PhD.
I don't care. He says a lot of things.
All right. But thanks to these two satellites that one was orbiting the sun.
Uh-huh.
One was, I believe, orbiting Earth. And they both happened to be on opposite sides of the sun at the same time.
Oh, exact so they're like, because I kind of skimmed this story, so I think I know what you're talking about. Like, they were able to, like, see all parts of the sun, 360 degrees of the sun at once.
Correct.
That's cool. I can see how that would be useful and cool and incredible for science.
Yeah, they took an image of it, and, you know, there you go. That's what it is. Now, it's not like something we're going to get frequently. I think it was just kind of a once-off.
What? I don't get why not. Like, you can just, they should just send another one out there and have two over there and just get it done.
Well, yeah, they could. Well, we'd have constant images of the sun.
And that's good. We need information if we hope to travel to other stars. We need all that information. Every little bit of data points. We need to feed that into the starships so they can like know that about other similar suns and then make calculations accordingly.
Well, I'm just very glad that once and for all we have proved that the sun is a sphere.
I'm happy about that too.
put
well, also
away.
It's good too because we can study like the little every detection on the sun, like the tsunamis and stuff. We can literally see where they originate and like how far they will travel. Though we don't like there's because before like you said there was always like a cutoff point.
I know Maestro has a app or a widget on his desktop for his home computer or his house computer, and it shows him the surface of the sun and any sort of solar storms that are happening in the moment.
Really?
What is that called, and how do you get it, and all that jazz?
It's a widget on my Windows 7.
Okay.
It's SOHO satellite.
Oh.
That basically, it's the satellite that takes images of the sun 24/7.
So how do I get that on my widget? Do I just go to
type
that into
Windows
Google?
Had widgets.
Yeah, you just add a widget and then look for SOHO.
Nice.
And it will show a picture of the sun,
Soho.
Basically.
Is this Windows
7? Like I said. Yep.
Just making sure all the facts
are there, by sure. So we're talking about like fields of view kind of with the sun. Have you heard anything about like improving on X-ray space telescopes using lobster technology?
Lobster technology.
Yes.
Now, hang on.
Hang on there.
Lobster technology. Include improving on what now? What was the first part?
X-ray telescopes.
X-ray telescopes. No. No, I haven't. I want to, from the whole lobster technology, I want to conclude that it's some sort of exoskeleton.
No.
Damn.
It is based off their eyeballs.
Claws? Are they giving it claws?
Oh, no, not claws. No. Sorry.
It's tentacles. Or are those feelers?
Yes, it is tentacles.
Feelers?
There are several tentacles on this telescope. Tentacle Telescope 05. I don't know why 05.
05, yeah.
That's the fifth version of this telescope. You don't know.
Mark 5.
Well, basically, I guess, a lobster's eye is designed in such a way that it lets in more light than us, and they have a larger field of view. They can see through dirt and grain and the like underwater, and they have like a 180 field of view. And so basically, if you get two of these telescopes, we'll have a 360 degree view of the sky. So in theory, if we could make these telescopes a reality using the way the lobster eyeballs are designed, we could take an X-ray 360 picture of the night sky. And that would be useful in studying just the various gamma ray bursts and just explosions that we see. But before, we can only have like just a narrow band that we could see with all the satellites.
Uh-huh.
See it all now.
Did the article talk about whether it was the aperture or like the pupil of the lobster eye that was so beneficial or the lens of the lobster eye? I'm guessing the lens from the sound of it with the whole 360 degree, but I'm not sure.
I would be surprised. The article just said eyeball. It was pretty short. It was
yeah,
just
exactly.
About the idea of it. Because
huh.
The article came from a, I guess there's a technology from a mantis shrimp, too.
Mantis shrimp? What's so special about a mantis shrimp?
It's this species of shrimp, but it can see in as many as 12 different colors. And that's amazing, because I didn't know this, because humans can only see in three colors. I didn't really realize that.
Wait, how many colors can these guys see in?
12.
12 colors.
And we can see in three. I mean, I'm guessing that's the base colors. I just never really thought about it. That's what we can see.
That's fascinating. We only see in three colors because we have three different types of color cells in our eyes. They must have 12.
They must have 12.
That's interesting.
So this vision group at the University of Bristol, they have this idea to study the shrimp's eyesight so they can create a better playback and viewing experience for your DVDs. So the next generation of DVDs could have some shrimp technology integrated in them. I don't know how that would even work. Like, would that mean
so
like different
funny.
Colors? Different color. I have a feeling, like you said, I have a feeling like your DVD player. Like, if you look in there and you see like that little blue, almost LED light that I think reads the disc, I would almost think that thing would be shrimpified. I don't think the discs are shrimpified.
No, I'm sure they both are. I'm sure they're both coded to accept multiple layers or something on different frequencies.
Shrimpified
is what
disc?
That would boil down
that
to.
Sucks,
I would believe
because that just means another conversion. Another fucking conversion of, first it was VHS, then it's DVD, then it's Blu-ray, now it's kind of USB drives, I feel. Like, I don't even use DVDs that much.
Well, anybody with any experience in shrimp, lobster, or compound eyes, please contact the Dubious Bakery.
Please contact the Dubious Bakery.
1-872-BATLINE.
That's your least convenience.
Yeah, exactly. So, we have been keeping track of this story for a long time. Ooh.
Didn't that sound like the soundbite we had? But it was me actually exhaling or inhaling.
The Mars 500 mission, for those of you who are not familiar. Maestro's giving me, Axel's giving me the thumbs up. So overall, here's the overview for the Mars 500 mission.
Russia kind of following that.
Oh, good view. Russia and the European Space Agency are currently running a 500-day experiment where they have isolated six people in a fake spacecraft. This whole scenario is designed to simulate a trip to and from Mars.
I think I could do that. I think I have the, as long as I had enough TV shows, I think I could have the capacity to just get in the routine, especially if I knew I was going to another planet. I couldn't do this test where they're staying in 500 days in a room, because I knew I was in a room. But if I was on the space station or whatever, having to do the mission, I think I could do it like a breeze.
So you're saying instead of doing your nothing here on Earth, you'd rather do nothing up in space?
Totally, because I know there's a goal there. There's a goal. There's a goal at the end of the nothing. It's not just the nothing. This nothing is for scientific purposes, and that is noble. I personally just don't want to be part of that noble experience. I want to be part of the space noble experience.
I hear you. I hear you. You want to be the guy launched up into space. You want
to
be
I would like to be number two, actually. You don't want to be the number one is the testing guy. I want to be right behind him. Right behind
him. Don't worry.
Version two.
Exactly. That's all I want. Be really safe.
So you don't want to be working on the shuttle. You don't want to design it. You don't want to put the guy's helmet on him. You don't want to do any of that. You want to go up in space.
Yes. Yeah. I think that is true.
It's a noble goal.
It's one of those things. Before I die, I would definitely like to experience being in space and looking down at the planet.
Well, you know what's funny about these six people that they chose for this mission? Only one of them is an actual astronaut. Has actual astronaut training behind them.
Being like what? One's a housewife? Like, what do you mean? Like, one?
Well,
really?
No, I'm sure they're all qualified people. There's a couple from I think four Russians, two.
Non-Russian?
Yeah, English or German. I'm not sure about the two other guys, but one of them is a Chinese man, and he is the trained astronaut.
The other people are just like scientists, just like, what, studying the effects on themselves?
I'm sure they're just generally well-rounded people with like great psych values or whatever.
That's kind of...
that's what they're measuring.
I mean, I guess that's a story. Like, could you pick up chicks that way? Like, 3 years later, just be like, I spent a year on the Mars mission. Right? You technically did.
Well, I could tell people I lived in a cabin for a year in the woods.
That's not as cool.
Really?
That does not come off
what
as
cool.
What if
I built the cabin? With my bare hands. And don't I have pictures of it, too. And it's
build
badass.
The cabin and leave. That's all. That's
when
you're cool.
I have antlers as a door knob. Yeah.
I'm seeing the problem now. I'm seeing some of your problems.
Back to the original story. So this Mars 500 mission. It's been 244 days, or probably more since we aired this episode. Mm-hmm. But since they left Earth.
Quotation mark.
The simulated craft is currently in stable orbit above Mars.
Ooh, could they like be in simulated danger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's what they've been doing to
that's
them.
That's totally what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What do they do? There's like all the guys like shake the outside like, you're in a comet storm. Meteorites.
They shoot up the hull.
They should kill someone. They should really make this epic. Like during the middle of the night, like they put someone's like hold over them and just take them out. And
aliens invade? Is that what you're thinking?
Not aliens, but like really, really mind fuck them a little bit. Like where did Andy go?
Axel, can I get through this story?
Where did Andy go?
Mentioning something weird.
David did it!
Jeez. All right. Anyways, Mars 500, Russia, bunch of European space agencies and Asian space agencies working together. 244 days into the mission, they reach Mars. Dun dun dun. So probably by now. They have launched their team of three onto the lunar surface in a separate
ship. Wait,
they've
already made it?
Yeah, they've already made it to Mars.
Oh, dude, I thought it just started.
240 something days ago 200 and some change days ago.
Because I remember the episode where we talked about it.
Wow.
We have been on better a long time. Than,
Jesus Christ.
Most everybody. So they made it. No one died.
No one died. Yeah. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. They'll be the first to admit. They were without Facebook for 6 hours at a time.
You know what I really want to ask them? I want to ask them, how long did it take before you started hooking up?
Oh, with each other? They're all dudes.
Shit.
Are you still thinking that way?
I still gotta ask them. I'm just gonna push the time a lot further. But...
There's six guys. No, I'm sure they share each other's porn collections. That's what I think is going on up there.
Yeah. You know what, you're right. They probably didn't turn gay, but they definitely got very open. Because there's not a lot of privacy at that point. I'd imagine.
That's awful. That's awful being an astronaut. God. It's nothing like Star Trek right now. It is nothing like that.
So, yeah, they've launched their team of three down to the lunar surface, or the Martian surface. And that team of three will complete their mission on the surface. It's an away mission.
Oh, wow.
In a separate spacecraft that is designed to go there and then come back up. I'm assuming much like the lunar lander, where it had the pod that landed, and then you shoot off from the pod.
Shoot off from the pod.
Yeah. So, I'm assuming something like that. And, here's the conjecture, or the odd part about this, is it's 520 days, but in reality, using current technology, it would take years, maybe a decade, to just get there.
I mean, using the same system? Oh, I see. They're pretending it's taking that long?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was pretending, like, yeah. You're right. Like, now that I think about it, you're totally right. Like, they're just using this to prepare, get that information of people in a long-term situation.
Probably starting an arms race again. The whole
race. It is a Mars race. There's already a Mars race. Totally.
It's fucking stupid.
Russia's gonna make it. I almost think right now they're thinking good. They're doing the nuclear spacecraft, man. We talked about it. It's like this ship that's gonna. They're building it so sturdy and to last that they wanted to help ferry humans to, like, the next planet.
That's cool. Good for them. I hope it works out for them. But I don't think that it should be a race. I don't think we should waste our resources on that.
Very noble for you, Devious John. I agree that it shouldn't be a race, but I almost think that it needs to be a race just to get people instigated to actually think about it.
All right, what if we fake it?
Fake the race or fake enthusiasm?
Yeah, we'll fake the race.
I mean, I'm down.
We'll make, like,
how would
big...
you fake it?
Well, okay, we'll transport a lot of boxes and make a lot of, like, random activity to warehouses and get Russia's eye on the warehouses.
I was going to say, we need to fake it to Russia. I see. I thought we'd fake it to Americans.
Yeah, no, exactly. Americans are all in on it. They're like, Russia.
Dude, that's Universal America. American.
We're poor. We can't pay for that.
Yeah. we can fake it.
We'll make them do it.
One day. Seriously, technology is only getting cheaper. Like, when we're all 50, it's like to get like a freaking 50-inch TV that's like the best quality, like super LCD 3D, it's going to be like 10 nanobucks or something. You know, that's going to be nothing.
Well, hey, I have this nice, awesome story out of Malawi, Africa.
I love Malawi.
Have you guys heard about Malawi, Africa recently?
I've been there. I frequent there many times. We all know that, Dubious John. Continue your story.
Well, it's a little landlocked country in Southeast Africa. And
that
farting in Malawi may be illegal.
It may be.
It may be illegal if this bill comes to pass.
They're voting on this shit right now.
Well, okay, here's the bill in question and why its wording is causing this controversy.
Okay.
Quote, any person who vitiates the atmosphere in any place so as to make it noxious to the public, to the health of persons in general dwelling or carrying on business in the neighborhood or passing along a public way shall be guilty of a misdemeanor.
I see what they're trying to go with, as in, like, do not pile all of your cow shit in the sidewalk, is what I think the bill is intended for. And then someone has interpreted it to be farting. I would say, like, I personally, I would say about a fourth of my farts actually smell. I am very clean. And I just, I can fourth? I would say a fourth of them smell. The rest just are just noise and pressure and air. And so, in that sense, that's not illegal in Alaska. I mean, Alaska, Africa, where we're talking about.
Are you getting enough protein?
I'm getting too much, actually. I gotta eat more vegetables.
That's
another story.
About
that's
you,
another
man.
Story. Just and it's all right. Another story.
All right. Well, so these two senior, what they call judicial officials, are bringing attention to this document. And they're not doing it from a joking standpoint, I feel, because Justice Minister George Chaponda insists that the bill includes farting. Just the way it's worded.
He's just someone's reading the bill, or is he a writer of it?
No, he's a trained lawyer, how they say, and a justice minister, whatever title that is.
So it's his opinion, his legal opinion, that it is referring to farting.
No, not referring to. It includes farting. The way the bill is written, it's faultily written. It's bad. It's no bueno.
So his definition of fart is...
is a atmosphere and noxious fumes and anything that vitiates. By the way, I looked up vitiate. It's a term to contaminate or lower the quality of the surrounding.
All right. Okay, I can see his point then, because even without smelling,
the bill
will vitiate the surrounding. There's no real reason.
The bill was intended to affect manufacturing plants and people dumping some sort of waste and this and that. Not farting.
Yeah.
But it's not written that way, this guy says.
Can they just say not to include flatulence?
Well, I'm sure like they could. Here's the thing. He didn't come up with a solution, and that's why I don't really want to put too much stock into him. He's pointing out the problem, but he's not coming up with a solution as far as I looked around.
Right. Well, Maestro's going to get him on the phone.
That's
pretty soon, and we'll get back to you on that story.
Well, hang on. This guy, the Solicitor General Anthony Kamanga, he said, "How any responsible or sensible person can conceive? God, I can't even. No, it's construe. I can't read my writing. The perversion to criminalize farting in public is beyond me." There's two different sides there. Like, one guy is reading too much into it, and the other guy is like, come on, what are you doing?
Come on. You can't, like... It's only one, like, a far and few between where I've ever actually experienced someone else farting. Like, actually, I hear that it happens, but it is... I'll say just jarring. It's like, oh, why, really? Because I'm not saying I don't do it. Of course, I do it all the time, but I'm so secretive or good about it. Or like that I will do it out in a loud area or like in a secret area or, you know, that's all. Like,
I hear the females don't poop.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. So on a lighter note, on a personal note, what I learned from this story is that I'm going to do more stories from Africa because they have fun names like Kamanga and Chaponda and Malawi.
I just Malawi'd my pants a little bit on the last one. Is that offensive to Malawi people?
Probably.
the Malawinese. I'm sorry, actually.
Malawi is a country. I'm probably saying
I want
it wrong.
Nothing, but I don't want to offend anyone on the show. We
absolutely.
Try to be so PC. We watch Star Trek. Come on.
That's so... Well, okay. We do...
Come on.
You're right and wrong there. How about the whole PC thing? I think the accent episode shot us in the foot. I think that was a horrible idea.
Horrible idea? That thing was brilliant. What are you talking about? That accent episode is gold. Right now, if you listen to this, go to episode 10, the accent episode. I think it's funny because it's funny because we try so hard the whole episode to do accents, and most of them are horrible, and that's why it's funny, because they're horrible. What do you think? Why you thought we did bad accents? I know why. You thought the deaf one. I know what you're thinking.
I forgot about the deaf one.
You thought the deaf one was offensive.
Did I really?
Wow. That's my thought.
Well. Deaf can't hear it.
Touche.
Well, I have another story here out of the UK.
There are certain trouble.
This one's kind of a downer. So it has
awesome.
but I'm told you have a good story after this, right?
Yes, I like the story.
All right. So a UK court bans a man from having sex.
Just one guy?
Yep, just one guy. The man in question is 41-year-old Alan. That's all we know about his first name, Alan. With an IQ of 48 and a moderate learning disability.
IQ 48, huh?
Uh-huh.
That's like a...
I thought that was a learning disability in itself.
Dude, no, 48, that's... Like, I seriously think like my computer has a higher IQ than that, technically. Like, they're dumb. Like, I think a couple of potatoes have more IQ than that. Like, I mean, I'm not even being... I'm being serious. Like, that is so low. Like, 60 is very, very retarded, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. So 40 is... I think I would have to agree with him not having sex. What is he having sex with? I'm sorry. Oh, I am sorry. That's I'm trying not to offend him.
Even better question.
I don't want to offend him.
You ready for this?
He's even listening.
He's having sex with another man. Who they call Kieran.
Well, okay. This is a very sticky situation. I have no problem with him with the idea of that. You know, like that's okay. I'm saying it from his point of view because he's just so... I don't know. Okay, if it makes him happy, I guess. Who is Kieran? That's my question. Who is he to want to have sex with this guy? He is some weirdo who wants to have sex with, like, people who are mentally... Who is he?
Here's the
thing.
Do you
have any information on that guy?
Here's the thing. Alan is set up in a disability home provided by the government or some sort of facility.
The government.
Or whatever.
Jesus.
Government's involved in this.
Exactly. And Kieran... So I imagine Alan doesn't have a lot of reach as far as to the public and this and that. So I
imagine,
his
reach is very limited, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think Kieran is someone else that stays in his house as well.
That exploits this whole thing. I bet Kieran is, knowing nothing about the situation, I hate him.
Now, I want to, by the way, I just want to say that Kieran is a fantastic sci-fi name.
It is. I'll admit, he does sound like he's from another planet, but it's tainted that way.
His retard list.
Really?
I am Kieran. I come from Uranus.
Hello. The retarded anus. It's retarded.
Well, the courts decided that after a long and lengthy philosophical discussions and interviews and proceedings and whatnot, that under the Mental Capacity Act of 2005, the judge retained the power to make life or death decisions for the mentally handicapped person in question.
Uh-huh.
So this judge deemed him unworthy of having sex because from Alan's point of view, he believed babies came from a stork or under a bush. Technically, he is correct with the bush. Just saying.
Nice. I like that. That is a ba-da-tsh. I'm impressed you could even have those thoughts, frankly. So, frankly, the fact that he even knows about a stork and can say that sentence, that's more, that's smarter than I thought he would be. It's just to think, because I thought like 60 to 40 was like really retarded. So, that's all I was saying. That's why I was really like, whoa, I can't even, because you should,
yeah.
I didn't think he could even speak.
No, I was with you there too, man. When I read that too, I was like, wow, this is a downer story. And I didn't know whether I should bring it up or not, but you know, I'm down to the bottom of the barrel here.
Yeah, yeah. No, issues, too. We're always about debatable issues, because...
True that.
Oh, my.
So, are we all in favor of that? I am. I don't really...
I think at this time, yeah. Judge, yeah. I'm for it.
And it's all about... right now, it's all about making sure he's not doing it, so he always has someone with him and shit. And that must be awkward.
Just get rid of Kieran. The weird fucking...
Kieran.
That's the guy who needs to be deemed never have sex again.
I am Kieran.
I am Kieran. I have sex with retards.
A horrible villain.
Yes, yes, yes. That's why he's a villain.
Well, I have an update on the Kepler mission, actually.
Kepler mission. Refresh my memory.
Dun, dun, dun. This is actually my favorite mission that we have reported on this the entire
Dubious Bakery history.
It is the Kepler satellite. That's the one that it's been observing stars in the galaxy.
Aye.
And they're observing them for wobbles or for a dimming of light.
This is the exoplanet mission.
Yeah, so gotcha. Basically if the star would wobble because the planet's acting on its gravity or perhaps if the light would dim, that would mean there's a possible exoplanet there.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
Now, it seems like every episode I should say every other episode, we have some sort of Kepler mission update.
We do. I'm saying we always talk about
should
it.
Should I get excited about this one? Because all of them seem like oh yes, this may be it. Oh, look at that. This could be it, but we don't know. We're just going to speculate and release it to the public.
All right. The answer is yes. It's probably going to be like that.
But all those bits of information are great. Correct? Like, true. These are all, like, just little nails in the coffin that there's probably more to the galaxy than we think.
Nice. So anyway, here's the update. Mm-hmm. So far. Okay, let's play a little game. Oh. A little mini dubious game. The exoplanet count.
Yeah, we need some sort of a game music.
Yeah, we do. We gotta get that out there.
So the exoplanet count.
Basically, how many exoplanets, that means planets that are outside the solar system, how many exoplanets has the Kepler mission found so far? According to this article, which is like days old, so they probably found maybe like one or two more. So basically, put in your numbers right now. We don't need music. Just do your numbers. I see the wheels turning.
I don't know.
Yeah, get your count.
I've
said numbers before in the past.
I'm going to say our latest projections have bounced up to...
How many exoplanets? Planets. These are entire planets.
In the habitable region? No, just exoplanets.
I have that number too, actually.
Oh, good for you. But, okay. I'm just going to say...
These are planets outside the solar system.
1,000 planets outside the solar system and 9,000 habitable. Just in case I'm off and... No.
Wait. So wait, you said 1,000 outside the solar system and 9,000 of them habitable?
I meant 10,000. 10,000 outside, 9,000 habitable.
In the habitable zone.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my. Okay.
You?
Maestro?
Like, I don't know, 200 something habitable.
Well, John, I thought you had it for a second until you said the habitable thing. That was like crazy, like so many, like because they have found 1,200 exoplanets so far.
Yes.
And 54 of them have been in life-friendly orbits around their planetary star.
How many?
54.
54?
54 have been in that little, have been in that area where it's not too close. I mean, not too far.
Do you know the percentage that breaks down to?
Of 1,200?
Yeah.
No. Don't you just go 0.54 times? 1,200?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't have a calculator.
I don't have a calculator.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that. Somebody. Anyway, I'll go more on the Kepler mission. But that's amazing already, though. 1,200 exoplanets. I mean, they've only been searching for, like, 4 months, and they're still just going over the data. And they've only searched a fraction of the sky. So if you just extrapolate this data, there are so many planets out there outside the solar system. And there's more great news about this mission. Smaller worlds like Earth appear to be more common than gas giants like Jupiter.
Really?
Yeah. That means how rocky planets and smaller ones.
Now, is that why? I think there's more investigation needed there, because that would not be the case in our own solar system. We have more gas giants than we do rocky planets.
That's true. Dubious John, poking holes through everything. No, seriously, at first, since that was all we could detect, that's all they would find is gas giants.
Uh-huh.
But recently, they've been finding more, or going through the data, and it's just pointing toward more rocky planets, more planets with rocky surfaces.
I'd like to believe that their data is wrong.
Maybe it could be wrong. It could be skewed. Like they've only, like I said, this is only a fraction of what they found. But they're just saying, so in this 1,200, most of them are rocky, and most of them are smaller. The higher percentage are, I should say. The higher percentage are. Oh. So if you extrapolate that data, it's almost like, you know, on a pie chart, you take like a tenth of it, and that's how much they studied, you know, and they're like saying, so if you extrapolate that everywhere, it could not be the case. Like you said, it could totally not be the case, but most likely it is. And so that's great, just because maybe one of them could be, one of these 54, could be rocky, and it could, you know, harbor life like us. And that's only in the pie slice that we've studied, so if you take it the whole galaxy, that just totally, I don't want to say confirms, but it's just totally more makes it more likely that there's alien life out there.
Which I really love the idea that we have 54 planets to pick from. That's fantastic.
Yeah, to, like, study from. Like, there's no way to know anything about these planets, really. Like, so far, they just know, like, where they reside. So, but still,
life-friendly orbits. That's good. but there's also another cool star that's called Kepler-11. Kepler mission, Kepler-11. So Kepler-11 is the star, and it's cool because it's a six-planet system. It's the highest planetary system we found besides our own.
Yeah, look at that.
So it has six planets in the system. Now, I like that, too, just because I like the idea of, like, just planets around another star, like a bunch of them working as like a system. Like, it's kind of unique how ours work. Like, we actually all rotate around the sun and we kind of don't mess with each other's orbits too much. You know, we actually kind of are all in a certain pattern.
You think that's unique?
Oh, that's just great that that happens. And that's a nice, it's nice to see that it happens elsewhere too. That natural formation of other planets. Like, it doesn't like, yeah, I like that. I just like that. I don't know. I just make it feel like it's more dynamic and there's more chance for like chemical reactions to happen, as weird as that sounds. There's just more forces at work if there's more planets in the system.
Huh. I would kind of chalk that up to the sun itself. Like, maybe if you have an older sun or a, I don't know. I would study the stars around a system to determine its value for whatever I'm looking for. If I'm going to go to a system, and this is many years in the future when we're all set
course.
Up and
we're trying
this kind of technology.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go to the system and I'm going to look for, that was nice. That
was awesome. Someone just messaged us. Epic.
Yeah, look at that. But if I'm going to go to the system, I'm going to look for gold. I'm going to look around the system at the stars and study what kind of stars were there, what kind of stellar phenomenon, and what is likely to produce gold, because every element has to come from some sort of star.
Yeah, exactly. They all do. They all come from the stars, basically. So yeah, if you could extrapolate it, there's probably like meteors out there full of it.
That's what I'd measure, at least.
Oh, but, yeah.
Hey.
Anyway.
Thanks for joining us on the Dubious Bakery. We are, as always, fantastically happy that you are here.
I know.
Listening
I'm
to
so
this.
Excited that you guys are listening.
And it was a special long episode. As always, find us on Facebook, Dubious Bakers, Dubious Bakery. It's all good.
We have a YouTube now. We are expanding to YouTube. Go there as well. Dubious John is even working on comics of us. Can you believe it? Comics meaning pictures of us. But if he does the pictures, I'll do the stories. Meaning with our powers combined, we'll do...
That's pressure. That's pressure.
Pressure right there on Dubious Bakery.
All right, find us on thedubiousbakery.com. And then, also, the Bat Line. 1-872-BATLINE. And hey, we have a donate button on our website. Check it out. See what happens.
So, yes, as always, smoke them if you got them.